Chapter 4. From his appointment as a missionary to his commencing his mission among the Indians at Kaunomiq in New York. November 26, 1742, March 31, 1743, November 26, 1742. Had still a sense of my great vileness, and endeavoured as much as I could to keep alone. Oh, what a nothing, what dust and ashes am I! Enjoyed some peace and comfort in spreading my complaints before the God of all grace. November 27th. Committed my soul to God with some degree of comfort. Left New York about 9 in the morning. Came away with a distressing sense still of my unspeakable unworthiness. Surely I may well love all my brethren. For none of them all is so vile as I, whatever they do outwardly. Yet it seems to me none is conscious of so much guilt before God. O my leanness, my barrenness, my carnality, and past bitterness, and want of a gospel temper. These things oppress my soul. Rode from New York 30 miles to White Plains, and most of the way continued lifting up my heart to God for mercy and purifying grace, and spent the evening much dejected in spirit. December 1st. My soul breathed after God, in sweet spiritual and longing desires of conformity to Him, and was brought to rest itself on His rich grace, and felt strength and encouragement to do or suffer anything that divine providence should allot me. Rode about 20 miles from Stratfield to Newtown. Within the space of the next 9 days, he went a journey from Newtown to Haddam, his native town, and after staying there some days, returned again into the western part of Connecticut, and came to Southbury. December 11th. Conversed with a dear friend to whom I had thought of giving a liberal education, and being at the whole charge of it, that he might be fitted for the gospel ministry. I acquainted him with my thoughts on the subject, and so left him to consider of it till I should see him again. Then I rode to Bethlehem, came to Mr. Bellamy's lodgings, and spent the evening with him in sweet conversation and prayer. We commended the concern of sending my friend to college to the God of all grace. Blessed be the Lord for this evening's opportunity together. B. Brainerd, having now undertaken the business of a missionary to the Indians, and having some estate left him by his father, judged that there was no way in which he could spend it more for the glory of God than by being at the charge of educating some young man of talents and piety for the ministry. The young man here spoken of was selected for this purpose, and received his education at Brainerd's expense, so long as his benefactor lived, which was till he was carried through his 3rd year in college. Lord's Day, December 12th. I felt in the morning as if I had little or no power either to pray or preach, and felt a distressing need of divine help. I went to meeting trembling, but it pleased God to assist me in prayer and sermon. I think my soul scarce ever penetrated so far into the immaterial world in any one prayer that I ever made, nor were my devotions ever so free from gross conceptions and imaginations framed from beholding material objects. I preached with some satisfaction from Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," etc., and in the afternoon from Romans 15, verse 30, "And now I beseech you, brethren," etc. There was much affection in the assembly. This has been a sweet Sabbath to me, and blessed be God, I have reason to think that my religion has become more spiritual by means of my late inward conflicts. Amen. May I always be willing that God should use His own methods with me. December 14th. Some perplexity hung on my mind. I was distressed last night and this morning for the interests of Zion, especially on account of the false appearances of religion that do but rather breed confusion, especially in some places. I cried to God for help to enable me to bear testimony against those things which, instead of promoting, do but hinder the progress of vital piety. In the afternoon, rode down to Southbury, and conversed again with my friend on the important subject of his pursuing the work of the ministry. And he appeared much inclined to devote himself to it, if God should succeed his attempts to qualify himself for so great a work. In the evening I preached from 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8, and endeavoured, though with tenderness, to undermine false religion. The Lord gave me some assistance. December 15th. Enjoyed something of God today, both in secret and social prayer, but was sensible of much barrenness and defect in duty, as well as my inability to help myself for the time to come, or to perform the work and business I have to do. Afterward felt much of the sweetness of religion and the tenderness of the gospel temper. I found a dear love to all mankind, and was much afraid lest some motion of anger or resentment should from time to time creep into my heart. had some comforting, soul-refreshing discourse with dear friends, just as we took our leave of each other, and supposed it might be we should not meet again till we came to the eternal world. I doubt not, but through grace, some of us shall have a happy meeting there, and bless God for this season, as well as many others. Amen. See, it had been determined by the commissioners who employed Brainerd as a missionary that he should go, as soon as might be conveniently, to the Indians living near the forks of Delaware River and the Indians on Susquehanna River. The distance of those places and his probable exposure to many hardships and dangers was the occasion of his taking leave of his friends in this manner. December 18th. Spent much time in prayer in the woods, and seemed raised above the things of the world. My soul was strong in the Lord of hosts, but was sensible of great barrenness. December 23rd. Enjoyed, I trust, the presence of God this morning in secret. Oh, how divinely sweet is it to come into the secret of his presence and abide in his pavilion. December 27th. Enjoyed a precious season indeed, had a melting sense of divine things, of the pure spirituality of the religion of Christ Jesus. In the evening I preached from Matthew 6, verse 33. With much freedom, power, and pungency, the presence of God attended our meeting. Oh, the sweetness, the tenderness I felt in my soul. If ever I felt the temper of Christ, I had some sense of it now. Blessed be my God, I have seldom enjoyed a more comfortable and profitable day than this. Oh, that I could spend all my time for God. January 14, 1743. My spiritual conflicts today were unspeakably dreadful, heavier than the mountains and overflowing floods. I was deprived of all sense of God, even of the being of a God, and that was my misery. The torments of the damned, I am sure, will consist much in a privation of God and consequently of all good. This taught me the absolute dependence of a creature upon God the Creator for every crumb of happiness it enjoys. Oh, I feel that if there is no God, though I might live forever here and enjoy not only this, but all other worlds, I should be 10,000 times more miserable than a reptile. Lord's Day, January 23rd. I scarce ever felt myself so unfit to exist as now. Saw I was not worthy of a place among the Indians, where I am going, if God permit. Thought I should be ashamed to look them in the face, and much more to have any respect shown me there. Indeed, I felt myself banished from the earth, as if all places were too good for such a wretch. I thought I should be ashamed to go among the very savages of Africa. I appeared to myself a creature fit for nothing, neither heaven nor earth. None know but those who feel it what the soul endures that is sensibly shut out from the presence of God. Alas, it is more bitter than death. February 2nd. Preached my farewell sermon last night at the house of an aged man who had been unable to attend on public worship for some time. This morning spent the time in prayer, almost wherever I went. And having taken leave of friends, I set out on my journey toward the Indians, though I was first to spend some weeks at East Hampton, on Long Island, by leave of the commissioners, the winter season being judged unfavorable for the commencement of the mission. February 12th, at East Hampton. Enjoyed a little more comfort, was enabled to meditate with some composure of mind, and especially in the evening found my soul more refreshed in prayer than at any time of late. My soul seemed to take hold of God's strength and was comforted with his consolations. Oh, how sweet are some glimpses of divine glory, how strengthening and quickening. February 15th. Early in the day I felt some comfort. Afterward I walked into a neighboring grove and felt more as a stranger on earth, I think, than ever before, dead to any of the enjoyments of the world. In the evening had divine sweetness in secret duty. God was then my portion, and my soul rose above those deep waters into which I have sunk so low of late. My soul then cried for Zion, and had sweetness in so doing. February 17th. Preached this day at a little village in East Hampton, and God was pleased to give me his gracious presence and assistance, so that I spake with freedom, boldness, and some power. In the evening spent some time with a dear Christian friend, and felt serious, as on the brink of eternity. Our interview was truly a little emblem of heaven itself. I find my soul is more refined and weaned from a dependence on my frames and spiritual feelings. February 18th. Had some enjoyment most of the day and found access to the throne of grace. Blessed be the Lord for any intervals of heavenly delight and composure, while I am engaged in the field of battle. Oh, that I might be serious, solemn, and always vigilant while in an evil world, had some opportunity alone today, and found some freedom in study. Oh, I long to live to God. During the next 2 weeks, it appears that for the most part he enjoyed much spiritual peace and comfort. In his diary for this space of time are expressed such things as these: mourning over indwelling sin, unprofitableness, deadness to the world, longing after God, and to live to his glory, heart-melting desires after his eternal home, fixed reliance on God for his help, experience of much divine assistance, both in the private and public exercises of religion, inward strength and courage in the service of God, very frequent refreshment, consolation, and divine sweetness in meditation, prayer, preaching, and Christian conversation. And it appears by his account that this space of time was filled up with great diligence and earnestness in serving God, in study, prayer, meditation, preaching, and privately instructing and counseling. March 7th. This morning when I arose, I found my heart go forth after God in longing desires of conformity to him, and in secret prayer found myself sweetly quickened and drawn out in praises to God for all he had done to and for me and for all my inward trials and distress of late. My heart ascribed glory, glory, glory to the blessed God, and bid welcome to all inward distress again, if God saw meet to exercise me with it. Time appeared but an inch long and eternity at hand, and I thought I could with patience and cheerfulness bear anything for the cause of God, for I saw that a moment would bring me to a world of peace and blessedness. My soul, by the strength of the Lord, rose far above this lower world and all the vain amusements and frightful disappointments of it. Lord's Day, March 13th. At noon I thought it impossible for me to preach, by reason of bodily weakness and inward deadness. In the first prayer, I was so weak that I could scarcely stand. But in the sermon God strengthened me so that I spake near an hour and a half with sweet freedom, clearness, and some tender power, from Genesis 5, verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. I was sweetly assisted to insist on a close walk with God, and to leave this as my parting advice to God's people here, that they should walk with God. May the God of all grace succeed my poor labors in this place. March 14th. In the morning was very busy in preparation for my journey, and was almost continually engaged in ejaculatory prayer. About 10 took leave of the dear people of East Hampton. My heart grieved and mourned and rejoiced at the same time. Rode near 50 miles to a part of Brookhaven, and lodged there, and had refreshing conversation with a Christian friend. In 2 days more he reached New York, but complains of much desertion and deadness on the road. He stayed one day in New York, and on Friday went to Mr. Dickinson's at Elizabethtown. March 19th. Was bitterly distressed under a sense of my ignorance, darkness, and unworthiness. Got alone, and poured out my complaint to God in the bitterness of my soul. In the afternoon rode to Newark, and had some sweetness in conversation and prayer with Mr. Burr. O blessed be God for ever and ever for any enlivening and quickening seasons. Lord's Day, March 20th. Preached in the forenoon. God gave me some assistance and enabled me to speak with real tenderness, love, and impartiality. In the evening preached again, and of a truth God was pleased to assist a poor worm. Blessed be God, I was enabled to speak with life, power, and desire of the edification of God's people, and with some power to sinners. In the evening I was watchful, lest my heart should by any means be drawn away from God. Oh, when shall I come to that blessed world where every power of my soul will be incessantly and eternally wound up in heavenly employments and enjoyments to the highest degree? On Monday he went to Woodbridge, New Jersey, where he met the correspondents, who instead of sending him to the Indians at the forks of the Delaware, as before intended, directed him to go to a number of Indians at Caunaumeek, a place in New York in the woods between Stockbridge and Albany. This alteration was occasioned by 2 things. 1. Information which the correspondents had received of some contention between the white people and the Indians on the Delaware concerning their lands, which they supposed would be a hindrance to the success of a missionary among them at that time. 2. Some intimations which they had received from Mr. Sargent, missionary to the Indians at Stockbridge, concerning the Indians at Caunaumeek, and the hopeful prospect of success which a missionary might have among them. On the day following, he set out on his journey for Caunaumeek, and arrived at Mr. Sargent's house in Stockbridge March 31st.